Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Need to add one more thing into that update because now something's official. This is a crazy story. Not that we need to spend any time on it, but
I like crazy stories.
John Beilein's done in Cleveland.
Oh yeah, I forgot to ask you about that.
That is insane. You want to spend like
yes?
I don't know. If there's like real time that because I don't know like how complicated it is, other than just like noting that it is wild. So John Beilein.
Well, it's a huge story because it was a huge shock when he. Left
right.
Michigan to go to Cleveland, and now it's done in a half a year.
Right. So they're 14-40 at the All-Star break, which ends tomorrow night. And Beilein just did not get along with NBA players and could not adjust. And it's surprising in that it's a young team.
Right.
Outside of, like, Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson.
And it might be Kevin Love that's part of the problem, right?
Love, yeah, he's certainly been unhappy there. I think he thought he was going to get traded, and he probably should have. But Cleveland, like, for whatever reason, wants to hold on to him. And it's just nuts to see a coach in his first year on a losing team that they knew was going to be bad get blown out like this. And also, like, they're just a I don't want to just be like, oh, they're a dumb ownership group, but like, I can't think of another word for it, man. They hired JB Bickerstaff, who was going to be taking over, to be there, knowing eventually they'll transition Beilein to Bickerstaff. They could have just hired Bickerstaff, and then what's the point of Beilein? Like, culture change? Like, just get Bickerstaff. Like, he's been around. His dad, Bernie Bickerstaff, was an NBA coach for years. JB's been an assistant.
So that was I don't remember that. That was was that a public plan or was that just the
word of the
buzz?
I don't know how public it was. I don't think it was public, but Adrian Wojnarowski has been reporting on this as he does everything.
Right.
And it has said that was part of the plan.
Okay. That Beilein was on board with or no?
I mean, I'm guessing eventually, but he had a 5-year deal. So this is something that they thought maybe down the line, like maybe this guy will have a short leash. I don't know. But he just so badly adjusted to the NBA game. And then, of course, there was a meeting at some point where he said his players were no longer playing like a bunch of thugs, which goes over real well because that word is not acceptable at all. And it's just, it goes to show how different college in the NBA is that a guy who, as successful as John Beilein, is so out over his skis. And it doesn't necessarily mean that NBA coaches are better because there's plenty of NBA coaches who would suck as college coaches because recruiting is such a big part of it. But when you go from playing 40 games from October to March to playing 82, you never get to practice. You have to deal with the travel. And by the way, the players are all, or most of them, especially the best ones, are making more than you. And some cases, significantly more than you. And thus the power structure is different. It's a whole different ballgame.
But not only that, you're dealing with 22, 23, 25, 28-year-old men as opposed to 18, 19, 20, 21-year-old young men or essentially not boys, but
they're children.
You know,
they're young adults.
Yes. So there's a different way that you can boss them around, manipulate them, use them, push them. And it doesn't work in the NBA.
Have control. You have control over their schedules. You can tell them This is what time practice is. This is what time study hall is. You can keep track of them at almost all hours of the day.
Now,
even and including, like, honestly, the hardest part might be getting them to actually go to class as opposed to, hey, this is we're trying to do this. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, no, you said practice was at this time, and I've got a sponsorship event, or I've got this. Like, you can't just get – you can't have the control. And I think for a coach like Beilein, who was – probably pretty on top of that kind of stuff in college, that probably was a struggle for him.
I'm fascinated to find out where he ultimately winds up going in college, because I'm sure he'll get a job and he'll have the pick of the litter, because
he's a really good college coach.
I covered him when he was the head coach of Canisius College in Buffalo at the start of his head coaching career. And I mean, we're talking 94, 95, whatever it was. I mean, like that long ago.
Yeah.
I mean, so by no means do I pretend that I know him or know him, how he thinks or whatever. Here's what I know. That guy can flat out coach, and he is going to rebuild somebody's program or make somebody's program better. The question is I just don't know who, and I wonder how much he regrets not only taking this opportunity, but ultimately leaving Michigan, because now you can't obviously go back there, but you can go elsewhere and you can win just about. Like, here's the thing. You don't have to be at a Michigan or a big, huge school to win consistently if you're John Beilein. You can win in today's college basketball, where the field is kind of watered down, to say the least, at, I don't know, Kansas State, if that's where he wanted to go, or Houston, or someplace like that. It doesn't have to be one of the blue bloods, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, here, hold on.
It helps. It helps.
Look something up real quick, because I'm forgetting on who someone's coach is.
It just doesn't have to be one of the blue bloods, i.e. Duke, Carolina, Kansas, UCLA, that type of thing.
I was actually looking at UCLA, but they hired Mick Cronin.
Okay, so they're set.
So they're,
maybe USC? Is USC happy with their coach?
I don't know. I don't follow college basketball nearly as closely as I used to, but like the West Coast teams have really struggled. But if you're, I mean, Michigan was an interesting one because like they had basketball history with the Fab Five and everything, but it's clearly a football school.
Right.
So, you know.
But he did a great job there.
Yeah.
Ultimately. Like, did they get to one Final Four while he was there or multiple
Final Fours? And did they win a title?
I can't remember.
I feel like they.
I think they fell just short.
I think they lost to that Louisville team.
Yeah, I think they fell just short
in the final that year. So, yeah, I mean, he'll have a pick of whatever. Like, he's the number one candidate that's available,
right,
for sure.
Right. But he's not coming around this area, so we don't, you know. I mean, obviously, Maryland, with the way they've kind of been resilient this year, they're not moving on from Mark Turgeon, even though a lot of Maryland fans hate Turgeon. Virginia's obviously not moving on from.
I mean, it's the kind of thing though that if you go, oh my God,
Georgetown?
John Beilein's available. No, if you're Maryland though, and Big Ten is where he's been good, and you get, you know, the right donors to put up that kind of money and go like, look, man, Turgeon ain't it. I know this year was great, but how often do you get a chance to get John Beilein?
Yeah,
never.
That would be interesting.
Let's get John Beilein. I mean, I would have to talk to some people that are way more connected at Maryland, but I think that's more than a 0% chance. I don't think it's high with the season they're having, but if Turgeon flames out in the Sweet 16, it doesn't matter that he's ranked 7 in the middle of February.
If they've been resilient.
Yeah, right. if they flame out Sweet 16 or before, John Beilein could be headed to Maryland.
All right, let's do this. I really want to get to this D'Angelo Hall thing because both of us know him pretty well. And D'Angelo is really smart, and I want to see what he said, because I haven't read it yet. I've seen the headline,
and
I know something he did not include in it, which is where I want to get to with you, along with what he actually said. That's next. That's a weird tease.
But I'm intrigued.
But you're intrigued, and if Hoffman's intrigued, maybe you will be as well on The Fan. Darius passing along that a caller called in and said Indiana would be a good spot for Beilein. And
they should hop on that for sure.
Because Crane is obviously not there.
Yeah,
Crane. Who is their head coach now?
Do they have Archie Miller?
Oh, is that who it is? Yeah, I think so. That makes sense, right? The former Dayton coach?
Yeah.
Is it Archie Miller?
Yeah, but it has not gone well for him there.
Yeah, so maybe that's possible.
He's been there since 2017.
Right. So here's the thing that I wanted to bring up, and we will get to the Caps after 10:30. We're with you until 11 o'clock, so just wanted to bring this by. Did you know D'Angelo Hall was now a writer?
I did not.
Yeah. So D'Angelo Hall does TV for NFL Network, of course, and also a podcast with Aaron. And is one of the more polished, smooth, smart, savvy guys, players, businessmen that I mean, I don't want to speak for you, that I ever covered, certainly. I assume you feel the same way. I'm pretty sure you do in that regard. So,
real smart.
D'Angelo was tasked with this, to list the top 10 cornerbacks, of course his specialty, that are free agents and available in the in not only free agency, but the 2020 draft, right? So he came up with his list. And at the very top of his list, Chris Harris Jr., who a lot of people are connecting to the Redskins for various reasons. We'll get into that. He also put number two, Bradley Roby. Wasn't sure
good
Roby
player.
Was a free agent. I didn't realize he was a free agent. I didn't see him on my list. Maybe I just missed him. Byron Jones, number three, from the Dallas Cowboys, is going to cost a fortune. Logan Ryan, number four, interesting because he can play inside and outside, from Tennessee. James Bradbury, the free agent that has been most connected with the Washington Redskins, off number five. On the list. We'll get to a little bit of that in a sec. But then he also lists Levi Wallace from the Buffalo Bills, Jimmy Smith, who, of course, is the Baltimore Ravens corner, who's had, you know, some
been real good
injury issues.
But when healthy, he's
but when healthy, he's right. Now, number eight is Jeff Okuda, who could go as early as number three in the draft. So he puts him. Then he lists Kendall Fuller, number nine, which is interesting because Fuller's played just about everywhere in Kansas City, free safety, corner, slot, outside. And quite honestly, like, he was great here in the slot. I don't know how great he's been outside corner and or safety in Kansas City, but I give him a hell of a pat on the back, if you will, or a tip of the cap for being willing to play wherever his team needed him to play. Right? I mean, is that fair?
That dude is super talented, and he's incredibly smart, and so that allows him to play pretty much anywhere. I mean, it just depends on, you know, I think kind of what your team needs, but he's physical enough to play everywhere. He's smart enough, and he is not scared of anybody.
And I wonder if a reunion back here, and not a reunion with the team that the people that drafted him, because they're all gone, but the team that drafted him, if that could be in the works, I'm guessing Kendall Fuller doesn't necessarily hold the organization with ill repute for trading him. I'm guessing he probably
no. Understood. Kendall's smart, and he's a. I don't think he'll hold any ill will, and also he understands that the people who did that are gone.
Right, and then
it would be pretty funny for him to walk into the same locker room as Alex Smith, though.
Right? How ironic. And so would it be, oh, by the way, for Bashaud Breeland to come back here.
Yeah.
Which is a possibility because
Ron
Rivera tried to sign him in Carolina.
I think that's a bigger possibility than Kendall.
I agree. And number 10 is Ron Darby, who, when healthy again, great. Philadelphia, the problem is he tore his ACL. I don't think he was quite right last year. But that's D'Angelo Hall's top 10 list of available corners. Now, Bradbury, number five, the guy that has been most connected to the Washington Redskins. Kendall Fuller, number nine, okay, from the guys that have been here, that have connections here. But, again, no Breeland and no Josh Norman either on that list. You have an issue with either one of those guys not being on the top 10, quote-unquote, available.
I'm so bad at these because everyone wants to ask you about free agents and do you know this? And it's like, because I know how well I know the Redskins, I always hate doing this because I don't watch tape on other teams like I do this team.
Right.
With that said, No, I don't have a problem with J&O not being on there. No, I don't have a huge problem with, like, I don't know who I'd take off for Bree. I actually think the craziest thing on that list is Okuda solo, unless it's specifically for 2020. Like, I'd take Jeff Okuda over Bradberry 100 times out of 100.
Right, I think, although it doesn't, unless I missed it, I don't think it qualifies. Wait. So it says the roster, it doesn't qualify. It's just for 2020. So what you're saying basically is,
like, based off age,
that Okuda
and upside
should be a lot
kind of
higher. Here's my thing. I love Chris Harris. He's 31 years old. I can't put Chris Harris number one when he was much better in the slot than he was outside.
Yeah.
I can't put him at the money that he's going to command at 31 years of age, even if he's put back in the slot, which is probably where his, well, not probably, definitely, where he's at his best. I don't know if I could put him number one, quite honestly.
Yeah, I mean, he's such an interesting one for the Redskins for me because they could really use a slot.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
If he's willing to play the slot, then come on down. But he's still been really good on the outside at times, in Denver. I mean, yeah, it helped when Talib was there. Mm-hmm. But Talib and Harris for like a 2-year stretch were the best corner duo
absolutely.
In the league, bar none.
Now, they had a tremendous pass rush there, too. But a lot of people are
connected. If they don't have a tremendous pass rush here this year, something's gone horribly wrong.
Yes, I agree. Now, also, the other thing to keep in mind is Chris Harris played under Jack Del Rio. I'm sorry. Before Del Rio became the head coach of the Raiders.
Chris Harris.
Yeah, because he's been there for, 7 or 8 years or something like that, right?
Harris was in Denver.
I mean, he's 31, so, yeah, he played under Del Rio when Del Rio was the defensive coordinator, because Del Rio was the head coach of the Raiders for 3 years and was out for two, and now so 5 years. So, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I think Jack Del Rio may have drafted him. May. I don't know that.
Del Rio was in Denver 2012 through 2014.
Right.
Chris Harris was there 2011 through.
Okay, so he didn't draft him, but he definitely coached him, obviously, for all 3 years. So there's that connection. And Roby also was, may have been.
I think Roby was their third guy.
Yeah, so exactly.
There's a lot of connections. This is the good thing, right? If you're the Redskins, you have a lot of options at some of the positions you need.
Especially at corner.
It is a
deep free agent class at corner.
You need another receiver.
Yes.
This draft is
loaded
at unreasonably loaded at receiver.
And you went over a bunch of the names of the guys. I mmean, just from Judy and Ruggs and
Ruggs, Smith, Lamb, Jefferson. There's a kid out of Colorado that's apparently gross.
Yeah, I forgot how to say his name.
So
but
many dudes.
LaVesca Chenault or whatever his name is.
So, offensive tackle. Mm-hmm. If you need one of those,
it's a very deep class for that.
Deep track.
And the Redskins do, obviously.
Yeah, whether Trent's back or not, they kind of need one.
Right, but here's the question.
Christian ain't going to survive camp.
Here's the question. Knowing how deep the draft is at that position, and it's not right tackles necessarily. It's a lot of college. Now, of course, they can always be better in the pros at right tackle. So all that. But knowing how deep that position is, do you go hell or high water to bring back Trent Williams if Trent says, I'm only coming back if you give me a 2 or 3 year extension. I don't.
I think you probably trade him, but I also don't know that that's where Trent is right now. So it may not come to that.
Okay.
But what's one of the things I said earlier? I think if the Redskins can get another top 40 pick, that's huge in this draft.
Yes.
So I don't know that Trent gets you that right now, but it's worth exploring.
Well, only because you would figure a team, the only team I could think of that gets you close to that, that has a need and is close enough to thinking Trent Williams puts you over the top, the Cleveland Browns, the team that's now coached by Bill Callahan on the offensive line.
Maybe.
And they need a left tackle.
Maybe.
And they've got a left guard stud in Betonio, and they feel like they are closer
than... Where's their second rounder?
for their second rounder.
Yeah, I'm saying where is
I believe it's 42, but I could be wrong on that. Somewhere in that range.
It's tough to pass up. Especially, you know, that's one of those things that on draft day you might see where, like, you might see how the draft is falling.
Yeah.
And go, "Oh, that guy is available that we didn't
anticipate." Especially if you trade down. If you're the Redskins and you haven't committed to Trent Williams beyond this year, and you trade that, and then you, because they're not going to take a left tackle at number two. I think we'd all agree with that, right?
Right. So, here's what I'm saying. Like, let's say you take Chase Young, right? You take Chase Young at two, you don't trade down. You don't plan on trading Trent Williams, but all of a sudden the 42 pick is on the board for the Browns, and Henry Ruggs has fallen out of the first round. And you go, "Oh my God, we can get Henry Ruggs at receiver."
At 42.
At 42.
Uh-huh.
"Hey, Cleveland, you want Trent for 42? Yes. Done. You might see how it plays out on draft day.
But then if you haven't signed a left tackle in free agency, which I don't think they're going to do.
Correct.
And if you're not going to use number two to trade out, you're taking Chase Young, then 42, just using your approximate scenario, to take a wide receiver, whether it be Ruggs or somebody else, now you're not taking a left tackle in free agency or in the first strong wave
too.
Of free agency.
Maybe, okay, so
and
maybe
in the
it's
first two
Ruggs.
Picks of the
maybe
yeah.
it's maybe it's a left
but maybe
tackle
it's
that
a left
falls.
Tackle like Wirfs or somebody who falls down
yeah.
because there's so much at the position.
Right.
That's exactly. That's a scenario I could easily see.
Sure.
Despite what they said, you know, like Ron.
Everything changes when you're on the clock.
Yeah, and Ron Rivera could have every good intention in the world to bring back Trent Williams. Doesn't matter. It doesn't mean Trent A definitely wants to be here under a non-altered contract because he made a big stink out of that. Like, if people want us to believe the athletes, right? Trent said it's about guaranteed money. It's about. I mean, he wouldn't say it directly, but basically it was about Bruce Allen, Larry Hess, and guaranteed money or the lack thereof. So if we're looking at him still saying, "Okay, the other two clowns are gone, but you got to give me X, Y, and Z to get," and I know you kind of put some water on that, and that's fine. It just depends on how much he wants guaranteed and whether we're talking about just for this year or a one-year extension, or a multi-year extension. There's a lot of different ways this can go. All right, 10:30. I wanted to bring up that D'Angelo Hall column. I thought it was kind of interesting that he put Kendall Fuller on there, who's his boy, and as well James Bradberry, who, of course, has been connected with the Washington Redskins. We will put a wraps on that. Craig will have a final sports flash here, and I we'll be back with Craig after that. We'll kind of chip away at this Capitals train because it was a big day for them, too, right here on the Fan. All right, we welcome you back. It is overtime. We wrap up shop here on a late Tuesday night. Late for us, anyway. Normally, we're... Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of late, right?
This show typically ends at 10.
Right.
We're in double overtime.
Yes. Absolutely. Although, unlike in the NHL where it can never end, this one will indeed. I can confirm. Sources tell me this will end by 10:50.
Sources.
6 and change. 10:56 and change is what I'm hearing. So, I know you're a big NBA guy. I am a big NHL guy, as you know. But we both like the Caps, right? Caps are entertaining.
They suck.
they have not
sarcasm.
They have not been very good the last 20 games. There's, I often get accused of being negative and all this stuff. I've been chirping about the Caps, how sloppy they've been for much of this year. Certainly the first 2 months of the season that was hard to do. But again, when the calendar turned to December. And it has continued right along through January and now half of February. The Capitals have been largely a disappointment might be strong, but they have largely been uneven or not giving you a good feeling. So they knew this. Trust me, they knew this. So today they went out and they made a trade. And I think they got a lot better. They look to go out and get Brendan Dillon. Yeah, right. Brendan.
I really hope so, because that's what I've been saying the whole night.
I just, for whatever reason, doubted myself there to go out and get him. Look, the fact that they are so pressed up against the cap that they got San Jose to cover half of his payroll or half of his cap number, and they didn't have to give up anybody off their roster, and in exchange, they didn't have to give up a young defenseman, i.e. a Jonas Siegenthaler or a Martin Fehervari or somebody like that. Yes, yes, they gave up a second-round pick, which they got in the Andre Burakovsky trade with Colorado, and a third-round pick with it's a conditional third-round pick in exchange for, indeed, Brendan Dillon. Okay? Now, this may not mean a whole lot to anybody, but here's the way I look at it. Ideally, I don't want to give up a second or a third-round pick, ideally, right? But I'd rather give up a second or a third-round pick and not give up somebody that's ready to help me in terms of those couple of guys that I just mentioned, if I suffer an injury or if somebody tails off and there's already questions about Nick Jensen and so on and so forth. The bottom line is I was able to make a deal, fit it in under my cap, now barely, creative structure, San Jose, all that, taken half, Craig, not give up anybody again from my roster or give up anybody that's right on the precipice of potentially replacing somebody if they go down in the back six, and get better and get a physical, big body who has playoff experience, plenty of NHL experience, still 29 years old, can work on my top line, can work on my second line, can work on my third line. I really like this move for the Washington Capitals. Again, for all the reasons that I just said, I don't know if he's going to work out as good as Michael Kempney did 2 years ago. That's probably asking too much, but damn it, this is another creative trade by Brian McClellan.
It's a really good job by them for all the reasons you just laid out. They had a glaring weakness. They had to do something. Things have been, I don't even know what the right word is. Like, it's beyond rough. Like, they've lost 6-7.
Yeah.
Like, they're in deeply sliding down the wrong direction.
Yeah.
And
Pittsburgh
leapfrogged
them tonight.
You know, if nothing else, this is a bump to try to stop, and you hope to go, okay, all right, good, we stopped falling. Mm-hmm. Let's start climbing again. What you hope it's not is just a bump on the way down that you're going, oh, we thought we got it, and all we did was just keep on rolling. So they're too good to not turn this around. They're obviously going to make the playoffs. They're going to not be losing every night, it feels like. But they had to do something. And, you know, what I like, too, from the little bit that I was able to read up on, and I don't think it's a big secret that I don't follow the Caps nearly as closely as you do, and not super close in general, but I always love players of versatility. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when you're searching for options to get a guy who can play both sides is really good, and hopefully he fits with Carlson, and all of a sudden everything else slides into place, and voila. But if you had to put him on the other side with Dmitry Orlov, then sweet, do that. So... you know, we'll see when we get on the ice on Thursday in Montreal and see how this looks. But you obviously have some big games coming up. You have the Penguins this weekend. You got a back to back Saturday, Sunday, with the Penguins here at noon on Sunday.
Yep.
So you got some big games coming up, and you got chances to see how this is gonna work. And the good thing is they have some off days around this Montreal game where they can hopefully get a little practice in and you know, get him up to speed.
Right, and they'll have a practice coming up tomorrow, so he'll have one full practice plus the morning skate on Thursday, assuming that he's here, which I have not heard one way or the other. I'm sure he'll be in the lineup Thursday. Whether he has the full practice or whatever tomorrow morning, that I'm not sure of. But for that reason, I don't expect him to be with Carlson on Thursday night. How soon they can ramp him up in the system. And, I mean, it's not like an NFL terminology. You know, it's not like you have a, you know, 85-page playbook. Exactly.
Yeah.
For how they want to do things, what structure they want, all that. Like, I expect him to be with Carlson probably within the next week or so. I don't know if I would expect that on Thursday night against Montreal, but either way, again, he's 29 years old. They only picked up, like, the contract is $3.27 million. So San Jose picked up the maximum 50% allowed. So the Capitals only took on, like 1.65 or something like that, whatever it turns out to be. And this is a guy who, of course, again, is going into a contract year. He's approaching 30, so he knows he's got probably one last good shot to make money and to get a long-term deal. Well, if you can be a horse, a top four horse for a team that presumably has the right pieces together in place and the right talent to make at least a deeper run, certainly than they did last year, nobody should expect a Stanley Cup again, but could they get to the conference finals? Yeah, they could. Could they get to the Stanley Cup finals? Sure. Is it likely? No. But if you can make a deep run and help and be a top four defenseman and play 25 minutes a night or 24 minutes a night paired with John Carlson, and everybody kind of knows that you're a pretty good tag team, and it makes Michael Kempney and the second pairing with Gudas better, and now you've not only improved your top pair, but you've also improved your middle pair and really your defensive core overall, that's going to be good money for him, Brendan Dillon, in free agency after this year, presumably elsewhere. But for right now, you make this deal.
Yeah, for sure. And that's the thing, too, is like, yeah, it stinks that you get a guy that you're only going to have for the stretch run. But he's a hired gun, and he's got something to play for.
I mean, I don't know how many people thought the Caps were going to be able to keep Michael Kempney when he turned out as well as he turned out, and they were able to do it. So I wouldn't just necessarily say there's no chance, but it's more likely that he is playing for his next contract elsewhere. Sometimes that can be good. Sometimes that can be bad. Usually it's a pretty damn good motivating factor. So a big deal for the Caps. They play Thursday night at home against Montreal. Craig was mentioning the Pittsburgh game over the weekend. I think that's a Sunday NBC television game, and also, of course, here on 106.7 The Fan. We'll come back, put the finishing touches on overtime. I mentioned something way earlier about a Burger King deal with French fries.
I think that's a great place to end the show.
Let's do that, right? Who doesn't love good food? We'll do that next on The Fan. All right, we welcome you back, and we wrap up the shop like this, or the show like this. So I saw this off of Barstool Sports, at Barstool Sports, on Twitter, Hoffman. It's titled, Have It Your Way Indeed, and it says Burger King is selling a sandwich with just French fries on it.
What?
Just French fries on it. So, according to the story and the picture, if you want a just French fry, but it's in New Zealand. Here's the problem.
Good, because I don't want it here.
Yeah. What they do is they take their French fries, right, and they put it in their typical Whopper bun, I guess, and just put ketchup and mayonnaise on the bun. And no, everybody's trying to go plant-based, right, and the Impossible Whopper. Well, I mean, it's impossible to have a Whopper if you don't have any kind of burger, any kind of meat, any kind of protein on it. It's just a fry Whopper, or whatever they are calling it, with ketchup and mayonnaise. Are you in or are you out?
Hard pass.
Hard pass.
Like, I'm
that's
not
carbohydrate
anti,
heaven, by
yeah,
the way.
I'm not anti a couple of things. Mm-hmm. One, I'm not anti fries on a sandwich. Primanti Brothers is a great American institution, and it's delicious.
Correct.
And I fully endorse what they do. I'm also not anti at the end of a sandwich, if like the burger falls out and you got a little extra bun,
to
add a little texture, put a French fry or two between the bun and do a mini version of this.
Okay. But not the whole thing.
As a full sandwich, I'm out.
Out.
Hard pass.
What would have to
because
be
I
on
would
it?
Because I never order it.
Okay.
Meat. That's what would have to be on it. Protein, if we're going to go on the nutrition side of it.
So you're out because it's got none of that.
Hey, I'd like fried carbs on soft carbs with ketchup and mayo.
Even me, I would say, you know what? I probably wouldn't order. Now, if Burger King or any king or any fast food joint were to start selling a regular sandwich.
Burger like, Crown Prince with this sandwich.
But if they were to start like.
Wait, that's not what I wanted to say. Not Joker. Court Jester. That's
yes,
what I'm saying.
There you go.
Burger Court Jester. I don't know why I went Crown Prince.
If any, you know, we're talking Wendy's, we're talking, you know, McDonald's, whatever. If they came up with, or not that they came up with, if they started selling, and I have no idea why people have not done this before, like a whatever their staple burger is, like if it's Wendy's, it's the Baconator or whatever. Obviously, McDonald's is the Big Mac and Burger King is the Whopper. If they put freaking French fries on it as a regular staple, meaning that is how we sell and list and order the sandwich, why wouldn't you? Of course, it's great. Why anybody? I mean, unless I'm missing something, nobody's really ever done this on a regular sellable item, right?
I can't think of.
I don't remember this.
I want to say Checkers had a sandwich at one point that had fries on it. But I'm pretty sure it was like a limited
thing. Every sandwich comes with fries.
Yes. I haven't done Checkers in a long time, maybe like 4 or 5 years. So maybe I'm not remembering it, or maybe it's something relatively new in the last couple of years. So I may be out on that. Yes, you're right. Every meal generally comes with fries.
So if you want to make your own,
right?
You want them to put
their... Of course. So that's why they don't do it. But you'll see it more with onion rings, right? Like a lot of these places will be like a Western burger. It'll be barbecue sauce and an onion ring or whatever. I'm just talking about instead of doing this cockamamie thing with just fries and ketchup and mayonnaise, like actually sell it together so you don't have to do it. You don't have to take the bun crown off. You don't have to kind of put it in the other side of the wrapper and kind of balance it on your lap or on your table or whatever. You just put the damn fries on in the production side of things and you serve it that way. Wrap it up and bam, we go. And then you still have fries on the side. How about that? Or onion rings on the side. How about that?
It's a lot. It's a lot of food.
Yeah.
Not anti that, though. Necessarily, but just the fries
on
the sandwich by itself.
That's a lot. I hear you.
I hear you.
We got to say goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. For Craig Hoffman, for Darris Dameron, I'm Chris Russell. Thank you very much for listening and calling and being a part of the show. You almost
distracted
the studio.
Chris Russell. Chris,
Tech Talk Live.
Catch.
Next on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.